Cale Clark here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Relevant Radio and get a free phone. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Fantastic Friday to all of you. It is September the 16th, 2022, so happy to be talking to you. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. 888-914-9149 is the toll-free line to call. You can also email the show, Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. You can follow me on Twitter, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E, and the show account is at Cale Clark Show. Lots of great stuff to talk about today as we end the work week, kick off the weekend. You know, a big problem for a lot of us is how do we retain membership in the Catholic Church? As I'm sure you're aware, the Catholic Church is actually bleeding people in North America, according to the latest stats. For every one person who is baptized, becomes a member of the Catholic Church at Easter time in the United States, 6.5 people leave the church. Now, as Father Rocky told me the other day, did you know that 99% of all statistics are made up? Well, that one's actually true. That's from the Pew Research Council, and they do such a great job at taking polls about what's going on in the life of the church. But I'm going to talk about how we can learn something from Orthodox Judaism about how to retain people in the Catholic Church in this increasingly secular age. I'm going to show you these surprising insights later in the program. But right now, I want to talk about something else. Now, you might have heard about what Joe Scarborough said on his morning show. Say It Ain't So, Joe. Joe Scarborough, who's the host of Morning Joe on MSNBC, made this outrageous claim on his program that Jesus never talked about abortion. So now there's a little bit of truth in that lie, but I'm going to get into that in just a moment. I will say this, Drew Mariani was very kind to invite me on his program, the program that precedes this one, the Drew Mariani Show here on Relevant Radio, to talk about this. I want to share this with you, and you can call in, and I want your reaction to this, 888-914-9149. Here's what I had to say about this on the Drew Mariani Show. We're going to set this up with the clip from Joe Scarborough. Check it out.
Just say, as a Southern Baptist that grew up reading the Bible, maybe a backslidden Baptist, but I still know the Bible. Jesus never once talked about abortion. Never once. And it was happening back in ancient times. It was happening during his time. Never once mentioned it. And for people perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ down to one issue, it's heresy. Go, if you don't believe me, if that makes you angry, why don't you do something you haven't done in a long time? Open the Bible, open the New Testament, read the red letters. You won't see it.
That was Joe Scarborough. Oh, he's a host on MSNBC, and the show is called Morning Joe. That's so nauseating and so frustrating. And I sit back and I thought, why would he say that? And well, one, he's misinformed on the issue. Clearly, there's a lot of things that Christ never spoke about, you know, that clearly are immoral and wrong. He did speak about murder, though, right? He clearly spoke about that. So did Moses. That's in the Bible. You know, Christ didn't speak about contraception or gun control or nuclear weapons. There's a lot of things you could say he never spoke about. Does it make it right? You know, what we're seeing here is these elections, they're getting closer, right? I think the media, the propaganda arm of the party desperately want the radical, unpopular abortion agenda to go through. They want to save their party from these expected losses in November in the midterms. So they're coming out with guns blazing. The big issue that they're running on right now is this issue of life, right? And it's Kamala Harris. She wants to codify it. She wants to overthrow the filibuster. Scarborough, of course, deliberately avoided saying anything about the sanctity of the unborn life. Rather said, Christ never said it was wrong to abort a child. It was going on at the time. Christ never endorsed it. He never endorsed it. So he's claiming that it's a heresy to say that Jesus opposes abortion because Jesus never used the word abortion in the gospel. Ridiculous. Cale Clark joins me today. I thought I'd invite him to go through some of these points, right? He is the great show that follows this one. You can tune in when I sign off, the Cale Clark Show. And Cale joins me today. Cale, welcome. Good to have you with me.
Drew, it is great to be with you. Let's break apart this whole Joe Scarborough situation, shall we? And Drew, you probably agree with me if I were to tell you that I would say Joe Scarborough knows about as much about this topic as Joe Sixpack in the pew.
That's so true.
At your local Catholic parish. But when I say Joe Sixpack, I don't mean a guy with washboard abs like I wish I had. But I'm talking about the fact that he says, well, Jesus never... And you already, Drew, mentioned a few different areas that Jesus didn't talk about. Jesus didn't talk about abortion, therefore it's not condemned by him. This is a foolish way of thinking about this. He didn't say anything about a lot of things, and some pretty crucial stuff as well. Some pretty crucial stuff, even for his own time. You mentioned, Jesus never talked about legalizing marijuana. Well, it wasn't a topic back then, but some other things that were pretty big were, such as circumcision. Okay, if you're going to go to the Gentiles and tell them that Jesus is the Messiah and you can join this movement, well, am I going to have surgery first? I mean, if I've never had this before, am I going to have to be circumcised if you're a male to join the church? That's a pretty big question, I would think, Drew. It might have hindered the evangelistic efforts a little bit. But he never talked about it, as far as we know. Now, maybe he did in private discussions with his disciples, but there's no record of it. There's no record of it in the New Testament. But that, of course, this was worked out in the Acts of the Apostles. There was really the first church council, if you will. Jerusalem 1, I guess you could say, as opposed to Vatican 2. But Jerusalem 1, it's in Acts chapter 15. They deal with this issue, which was the crucial issue confronting the nascent church, the infant church. And so, one of the things that Joe Scarborough mentioned, Drew, is this. He mentioned that this red letter Bible. He said, I'm a Southern Baptist. I've read the Bible. I've read the red letter Bible. Now, for people listening who might not know what that is, I think most people probably know what that is, but there are editions of the New Testament that have, of course, the words of Jesus in red letters. Now, we can't remember that, or we can't forget, rather, that doesn't mean that these are exact verbatim quotes from Jesus, right? You can read through, for example, the Sermon on the Mount in just a few minutes, one of the great, of course, sermons of all time, the greatest of all time by Jesus. Right. So you can read through that in just a few minutes, but the New Testament tells us that Jesus kept the crowds spellbound for hours and long, long periods of time. So clearly, people are following him for days on end. They're with him. So not everything that he said got in there, number one. But what we have here is the gist of his teaching, and it really is his teaching, no question about it. He's also speaking in a language called Aramaic, and it's translated into Greek for the New Testament, and it's translated into all the languages of the world in which we read the Bible, such as English. So that's what the red letter edition is, the words of Christ in red letters. But one thing that we can say, Drew, I think, is that the Bible does talk. Now, maybe Jesus himself never used the word abortion, but that doesn't mean that he didn't believe that it was wrong. And I think Joe Scarborough is right in that it was a practice that was going on in the Roman Empire in the first century, no question about it.
Right.
There are lots of records of what people would do is essentially they would commit infanticide a lot of the times. If they didn't want a child, they would simply leave that infant by the side of the road to be, it sounds horrific, and it was horrific, to be devoured by birds of carrion, animals that would prey upon that infant. It's just horrific to think about. That was going on in Jesus' day for sure. No question about it. But I do think that the Bible in general talks about, especially the Old Testament, which was in fact the set of scriptures that were in existence in Jesus' time. The New Testament hadn't been written yet. There are some principles there for sure that talk about abortion. And I would say this, Drew. Jesus had a very high view of scripture. There's no question about it. If you look at statements of his throughout the Gospels, there's no question that Jesus absolutely adhered to the Old Testament. He mentioned accounts from the book of Genesis. He talks about Adam and Eve in the beginning. He taught when he prohibits divorce in Matthew chapter 19, Mark chapter 10. He talks about the martyrdom of Abel in Luke chapter 11. He talks about Noah and the flood. He talks about Lot and his wife. He talks about, of course, the Sodom and Gomorrah incident in Matthew chapter 10. He talks about Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. He said, just like that, the Son of Man will be lifted up. And that was in John chapter 3. He talks about the manna from heaven in John chapter 6 as he's doing his teaching on the Eucharist. He talks about Elijah when he's in his hometown of Nazareth, and the people want to stone him to death. So he certainly knows the Old Testament. He buys into it. Of course, as the Word of God incarnate, he's kind of the author of that in a certain sense, of course. And so in John chapter 10, Jesus said, quote, Scripture cannot be broken. Scripture can't be broken. And then and then after the resurrection, he sort of upbraids his disciples for not believing all that the prophets had spoken, which it was really all the Scriptures, really. It's kind of a catchphrase of talking about all the Scriptures at that point. So I don't think that there's any question that he bought into what the Bible says. Now, that sort of leads and begs the question, did the Bible talk about abortion, Drew? And we can certainly mention that if you'd like.
Just to put it in context, Cal Clark joins me, the great host of the Cal Clark Show, and you can catch him a couple times throughout the day. For those who have not heard this, maybe you're just tuning in, I'll put into context what Joe Scarborough, host of MSNBC's, I think it's The Morning Joe, had to say. A lot of people reacting to this, both within the Christian community, pro-life community, and just at large. Listen.
As a Southern Baptist, wow. I grew up reading the Bible, maybe a backslidden Baptist, but I still know the Bible. Jesus never once talked about abortion, never once. And it was happening back in ancient times. It was happening during his time. Never once mentioned it. And for people perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ down to one issue, it's heresy. Go, if you don't believe me, if that makes you angry, why don't you do something you haven't done in a long time? Open the Bible, open the New Testament, read the red letters. You won't see it there. And yet there are people who are using Jesus as a shield to make 10-year-old rape girls go through a living and breathing hell here on earth.
And he goes on and on. I'm just going to cut it right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, how condescending, right? How condescending. He says, you know, he basically suggested that Christians, angry over his words, go look at the Scripture. You know, why don't you do something you haven't done in a long time? Open the Bible, open the New Testament, read the red letters. You're not going to see it there. Okay, let's pick up on that point. The word abortion is not, you know, explicitly written into mm-hmm. Scripture, but I think of the Old Testament, the New Testament. You can go through Exodus, Deuteronomy, all these different things. The Didache, you can take a look at all this different writing that clearly points out, you know, that life is sacred and should be protected, forbids children from being put to death for the sins of the parents, and a whole litany of other things. Address that issue, because people so often mm-hmm. do this. They'll take the Bible, they'll use it, or they'll twist it in a way to try to make a point that is really not true.
Yeah, Drew, that's absolutely correct. And one of the things that we talked about is that, as you pointed out yourself, Drew, the word abortion is not in the Bible. That is true. But the teaching against it certainly is in the Scriptures. The word Trinity is not in the Bible either, but we know that God is a Trinity. The concept of the Trinity, the reality of the Trinity certainly is there. Well, let me just talk about just some of the general principles, how we can know that the Bible is certainly against abortion. First of all, the Scriptures teach that human life is on a different level from other kinds of life. For example, the life of a plant, for example. And I remember reading when I was a few years ago that St. Thomas Aquinas taught, the plants have a sort of plant soul. Anything that's alive has some sort of an animating principle, soul. I never really thought about it that way before, but of course, human persons are made in the very image of God. And of course, that goes back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. God created man in his image, in the divine image he created him. Male and female, he created them. That's in Genesis 1:27. So in that one verse, the word create pops up three times. So this is a big deal. This is a big deal. It's almost like God wanted to reiterate how important the human person is. And because we're created in the image of God, it is certainly very grave sins against persons. And of course, the worst sin against them is to murder them, as you mentioned a couple minutes ago, Drew. But even look at the letter of James. And on the Faith Explained program, we did a whole series on the letter of James called Bonding with James. So you can look it up in the archives of the Faith Explained show on Relevant Radio. But James talks about not even speaking ill of another person. He says, quote, "With the tongue we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we also curse human beings who are made in the image of God. This ought not to be so." And how much of that is going on, especially on social media, that kind of cursing. So the image of God, we're not random clumps of cells. Each one of us has a unique purpose. We are unrepeatable, created by God, of course, with the help of our parents. And even our parents, ultimately, everything comes from God, but they provide the body, if you will. God provides the eternal soul. And there we have it, a person in the image of God.
I love it. Let's take a call or two. Can we have a couple minutes?
Sure.
Dee is
absolutely
in Los Angeles. I think she's got a great point. Dee, thanks for joining us. You are on the air with Kale Clark.
Hi, Drew. Hi, Kale.
Dee?
Yeah, you know, as Catholics, we don't just go by the Bible alone. We go by the commandments. And the commandments clearly say, do not kill, which means do not kill nobody. Yeah, burn the old, the young. So we're not supposed to kill anybody.
Dee, let me let Kale respond to you, because, I mean, you go back to the Ten Commandments, right? I mean, thou shalt not kill doesn't get more clear than that. An abortion, unless you don't think it's murder, you know, then I think it's the only way you can get around that. I don't think there's a clear scripture.
Yeah, that's a great point. Thanks for bringing that up, Dee. And yes, that we're a religion of the Word of God. And of course, the Word of God is a person. It's scripture, church teaching, there's sacred scripture and sacred tradition as well. But even the commandments, and you mentioned the commandments, Dee, they are in scripture as well, such as Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments. And we're going to be doing, actually, our next big series, Drew, on the Faith Explained is going to be on the book of Exodus. I can't wait. That's just going to be starting in a few days. So please keep your eyes peeled for that.
Love it.
But I would say the commandment that Dee referenced, thou shalt not kill, it's probably better translated, thou shalt not murder. Because at times, killing is, although regrettable, necessary. For example, in times of war, a police officer, for example, trying to save innocent persons from a rampaging maniac, just to give a couple of examples there. So really what we're talking about here is thou shalt not murder an innocent human life. And certainly in abortion, that's exactly what we have here, an innocent human life, a human person created in the image of God.
Yeah. My guest today, Kale Clark, before I go back and we continue to point some of this out, give us a broad overview of, as Catholics, when it comes to the Bible, a lot of people feel that we Catholics don't know our Bible as well as our Protestant brothers and sisters. We hear it all the time, like purgatory is not in the Bible, Mary's Assumption is not in the Bible, consubstantiation is not in the Bible. How do we rise to the challenge that we often hear that Catholics don't know the Bible? Or maybe the problem is that Catholics don't know the Bible. So when they hear Scarborough or somebody say this, they think, oh my gosh, maybe he's right. How do we clear up this misconception and we do get exposed to the Gospels, you know, in Mass all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
And great programs like yours take us through it, but maybe you can address that issue.
Well, thanks for the kind words, Drew. And I'll say this, that a lot of it's just mindset. It's just, the reason why I do what I do, to be quite honest with you, on Relevant Radio, whether it's with the Kale Clark Show or the Faith Explained Show, where we obviously do delve into Scripture a lot more deeply, I want to give people the confidence that this is our book.
Amen.
Now, of course, other groups read this too, but the Bible is a Catholic book. There's nothing in the Bible that contradicts the Catholic faith, and there's nothing in the Catholic faith that contradicts the Bible. This is the church's book. It was written. The church came before the Bible. The church was in operation for decades before the first New Testament book came into play, probably one of the letters of St. Paul. And so people were being baptized, people were being catechized, and so there's nothing in this that conflicts with our faith. So we need to read it. My friend Cardinal Collins, he always carries around a little, it's the color red. He carries a little red Bible because he thinks the Bible should be red, and he loves puns like that. But we got to read it. We have to pick it up, take up and read, as St. Augustine heard that voice long ago. And we have to do the same.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, Kale, I am up against the clock. I want to put a quick plug in for your show. One of my favorite is The Faith Explained. If you really want a great look. Like, I love what you were just doing with Adam and Eve. I think it was last week or two I was in my car coming back from Mass, and I look forward to your whole Exodus series and everything that's coming up. People can get them on the archives as well.
But yes.
Some final thoughts from you here, Cale, and again, thanks for the hard work.
Well, thanks for the invite, Drew. I really appreciate that. And it was so great to meet you last week. And I'll say this, if you're on hold, if you didn't get through, please call my show. We'll give you some time to call in. But I do thank you for the invite, Drew. And of course, yeah, people can follow me on Twitter at Cale Clark and check out the shows, of course, relevantradio.com through the app. There you have it. That was my interview with Drew Mariani. Thank you, Drew, for inviting me on to talk about this very important issue. And if you want to react to that, you can call in right now on the Cale Clark Show, 888-914-9149. Let's go to the phones right now. Susan is calling from beautiful San Diego. Hi, Susan.
Oh, hi. I can't even tell you how upset I was when I listened to that guy. Okay.
Mm.
And it right away I remembered what an older priest, I might have been on Relevant Radio years ago, but he said, why would Jesus have had to talk about abortion? It was such an egregious thing. No, you know, Jewish woman would have even considered it. All he wanted to do is build up the kingdom of, you know, God, right? And I did find two Old Testament things that, I don't know, I'm Catholic, but I look stuff up. And so I just wanted to tell you real quick, Psalm 127, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him, like arrows in the hands of the warrior. Children are children. Okay, blessed is the man whose quiver is full. Proverbs 6:17. There are six things the Lord hates. Seven are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood.
Wow.
I mean, if that isn't being pretty clear, Mr. What's-Your-Face Joe guy.
Joe Scarborough, yeah.
I don't know what... Yeah, maybe he should read the Bible. So that's all I wanted to say.
I think he certainly needs to revisit it. That's for sure. And thank you so much for that call, Susan, those powerful verses. And yeah, those verses would have been, of course, verses that Jesus would have affirmed. One of the things that he said after he rose from the dead in Luke 24, he's walking on the road to Emmaus with the two disciples. They've lost heart. They're downcast. He's like, what's wrong? They don't know it's him, of course, risen from the dead. He's kind of his true identity is obscured from their eyes. Maybe he's wearing a hoodie or something. Who knows? But why are you looking so sad as you walk along? And, we thought this Jesus guy was going to be the Messiah, and then he got killed, and you know, we don't know what to do now. And then he goes on to say how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all of the prophets had spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer first and then enter into his glory? And so he goes on in Luke 24 to start preaching to them and talk to them. Incredible. I mean, imagine being at that little Bible study. My goodness, being taught by the living word of God himself. And so one of the things that he said was that everything that was written about him in the prophets, the Psalms, and the writings, that's a catchphrase for the entire Old Testament, had to be fulfilled. So Jesus certainly affirmed all of the scriptures of Israel, like the ones you just quoted in part. So appreciate that very much, Susan. He certainly, and so a lot of this stuff didn't need to be spelled out necessarily in the New Testament. Of course, Jesus would have believed its teaching. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Hey, if you're on the line, please stay there. We'll get to your calls more about this after the break. Hopefully that set Joe straight. It ain't so, Joe. It's not like Shoeless Joe. He may be Clueless Joe. Say it ain't so, Joe. It ain't so. I'm telling you that right now. It's Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. I'll be right back after the break. 888-914-9149. Hi, this is Cale Clark. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. They're a pro-life phone company, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to Relevant Radio or another pro-life charity of your choice. For a limited time, new customers who mention offer code Relevant Radio get a free phone with free activation and free shipping. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com. The Catholic Order of Foresters, the sponsor of our studio's line, is hiring today. Several positions are available throughout the United States. Visit relevantradio.com/forester to learn more about how you can find your vocation with Catholic Order of Foresters, an Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
This is The Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
Hey, welcome back to the show. If you're just joining us, we spent the first segment kind of replaying some audio from the Drew Mariani Show. Drew had me on as a guest. He was very kind to invite me on to talk about the absolutely inane, possibly insane, comments of Joe Scarborough from MSNBC's Morning Joe, in which he said, well, he prefaced it by saying how he's got a Southern Baptist background. He knows his Bible. He says Jesus never talked about abortion. That's technically true, but that doesn't mean that Jesus didn't believe that was wrong. So we spent the first segment talking about that, took some of your phone calls, want to take more of them now. If you want to get in on this topic, 888-914-9149 is the number to call. And don't forget, if you did miss the first part of the show, never fear. Producer Jim is here, and he's going to have the podcast up for you just a few minutes after the show. So keep your eyes peeled on the Relevant Radio app, relevantradio.com. You can share it. You can stream it there. Also, wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, we're everywhere. And we want to be everywhere. We want to bring Christ to the world through the media wherever possible. So let's get back to your calls right now. 888-914-9149, The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Matt is calling from Milwaukee. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Cale, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you. So Jesus did not speak specifically about abortion in the New Testament, but he did mention the little ones.
Mm-hmm.
In Matthew 18:10, for example, I'll quote that.
Sure.
See to it that you do not despise even one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually look upon the face of my Father who is in heaven. And then in Matthew 18:14, even so, it is not like the will before your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones would be lost.
Mm.
There are several other quotes about the little ones, so it goes to show how high in esteem that Jesus held the children of the world.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Matt. Really appreciate that point. And I do think that when he's talking about little ones, he's not just talking about those who might have a small faith, a little faith, like the size of a mustard seed that needs to be, it's very fragile, needs to be watered, needs to grow. He's also talking about actual children, too, because don't forget, that whole chapter, Matthew 18, starts off with Jesus taking a child in the midst of them, because the disciples were kind of bragging about, hey, who's the greatest here? Is it Peter? Is it John? No. Jesus says, here, look at this child. And he says, truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And so it's descending into greatness. We have to grow in the virtue of humility for sure. And so, yeah, he does talk about those who cause little ones to sin or cause damage to them, that is true. And what's also interesting, I find, about Matthew 18, this is a total sidebar here, but Jesus says in verse 10, see that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. That's very interesting. Their angels always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. I think that's a great verse to kind of back up the doctrine of the guardian angels. That it's kind of interesting to think that your guardian angel is at the same time looking at you, looking at our Father in heaven, saying, you know, how can I connect these two and make sure that this person, I'm going to do my best to get this person to heaven and give them all the help they need. Of course, they have free will, they can turn away. But it's a great chapter for the doctrine of guardian angels as well. And so I appreciate that very much, Matt. And also, just to get back to this concept that, yeah, even though Jesus didn't maybe speak about abortion specifically, that doesn't mean that he's not in line with tradition in the Old Testament and what the church later taught about abortion as well. The church is very clear in certain documents. You can look at the Modern Catechism. You can look at also the first century document called the Didache, which means the teaching of the 12 apostles. That's something I didn't get to cover in detail on Drew's show, but the Didache is very, very clear that procuring an abortion is a sin. That's a first century document. Now, there's this sort of thing that happens in academics where people search for, in biblical studies, it's called the quest for the historical Jesus. And they try to separate the Jesus of history, what they call, from the Christ of faith. It can't be done. There's only one Jesus. And I remember reading about this when I was doing my grad school studies and thinking how strange this is. And one of the criterion for trying to figure out whether Jesus really said something or not, or did the church make it up, was this, what they called the criterion of double dissimilarity. Now, what does that mean? Well, they said, well, if Jesus said something in the Gospels, it sounds a little bit too much like Judaism, or something like it's in line with the Old Testament. Or if it sounds too much like something the church taught later on, then there's no way that Jesus said that. And I'm thinking, that doesn't make any sense at all. If it sounds too much like Judaism, or if it sounds too much like the teaching of the church, there's no way that Jesus said that or believed in that. Hey, folks, Jesus was Jewish, and he founded the church. So it would make perfect sense that he's in line with Jewish teaching and the Old Covenant teaching of the Hebrew Scriptures. And of course, church teaching is going to sound like Jesus' teaching because he founded the church, for goodness sakes. That makes absolutely no sense. So yes, he is in line, and yes, he did buy into all of this. Great phone call, Matthew. Really appreciate you listening in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Going to go now to California, to the West Coast. Raymond is in Brentwood, California. Hi, Raymond. How you doing?
Good, Cale. Great show. Good topic today, so thank you so much. Hey, you know, I had to think about this. Joe Scarborough is, I think, misinformed in kind of a superficial approach to Scripture. It's easy to say that, you know, hey, I've read my Bible, but I actually have a Bible that does have the red verses. It's Catholic. But, I want to share just, this is Matthew 5, verse 21. He says, "You have heard that it was said that to men of old, you shall not kill, and whoever kills shall be liable to judgment." So then Jesus ups the ante. "But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother shall be liable to the council, and whoever says you fool shall be liable to the hell of fire." So Jesus not only says murder is bad, in addition, if you're calling somebody a fool, you're going to be liable for judgment. You're going to be judged on that. So, boy, I think he's really missing it, you know, the whole point on this. Again, we don't hear about Trinity in the Bible, but we know it's there. But to really take this out of context, really, really misinformed. I don't know if he's looking at trying to side with society's approach right now, taking the easy way, but I think any Christian has to hear that and go, this guy's way off base.
Yeah, that is such a good point, Raymond. And I like that you brought up the teaching from Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, when he's citing the commandment against murder. And by the way, you can find that in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus chapter 20. That's where you can find a list of the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, also in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And speaking of Exodus, just a little sidebar here, as I mentioned in my interview with Drew, we're going to be starting a brand new series on the Faith Explained program at 12:30 Central on Monday on the book of Exodus. Exodus, the power of God and the presence of God. I can't wait to share this with you. It's going to start on Monday, and if you can't listen to it live, of course, you can get the podcast on relevantradio.com, on the app, wherever you get your podcast. So that commandment, you shall not murder, and again, it's best translated, as I said to Drew, murder. Because tragically, sometimes killing is necessary in times of war and aggressors trying to harm you or your family, that sort of thing. But then Jesus says this: if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. So the point of what he's saying there is that it is not enough to just refrain from actually murdering somebody. You've got to refrain also from hating your brother or sister. And by the way, in antiquity, in the time of Jesus, not just Jewish thinkers thought this, but also Gentiles as well. So here's the thing. Jesus says, if my followers don't put this principle into practice, you could end up in court. And by court, I mean before the judgment seat of Almighty God. When he says, if you insult a brother or sister, you'll be liable to the council. This word for insult, and in some English Bibles, it actually gives the literal word that Jesus used. If you say to your brother, raka, Now, what does Raca mean? It's an Aramaic word that it basically means airhead. Okay. Well, that sounds pretty innocuous. If I call somebody an airhead, I'm going to be liable to the council. Hang on here. Now, this is interesting. If he says, he goes on to say, if you tell your brother or sister, you fool, it's like calling someone a moron today, you'll be liable to the hell of fire. What is he really saying here? Well, basically, Jesus is telling us that anger leads to problems, okay? How many times are we angry with somebody? And if we could get away with it, if they could kill somebody without anybody seeing what was going on, it's kind of like in Moses in the book of Exodus, he kills an Egyptian guy, he looks around and see if anybody's watching, and he kills this guy. He buries him in the sand. He thinks he's gotten away with it, but somebody did see it. Well, God always sees what we're not only what we're doing, but what we're thinking as well. And so if we wish we could kill somebody, that's almost as bad as wanting to actually kill them in practice. And so we've got to really transform our hate and change it into love. And so this is what Jesus enables us to do. So really great points there. Thank you for that call, Raymond, in Brentwood, California. We're going to go now. We're going to stick out in the Golden State. Charles in Fremont, California. Hi, Charles. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Cal. Cal, thanks for having me. I love your show.
Thank you, sir.
I was just thinking of a scripture passage. Oh, yeah, you bet. I was just thinking of a scripture passage from, I believe it's Jeremiah chapter 1, somewhere around verses 4 or 5, where God, he says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. And before before you were born, I consecrated you. So I'm like thinking, this speaks not just to Jeremiah, but it speaks to the conscience of all of us, of every person on earth, saying, hey, look, from all eternity, God has known us, and he has a special plan. He's consecrated us, a special purpose for us. And so it just makes me wonder, who am I or anyone or who are we to thwart the plan and the will of Almighty God who's consecrated us from the beginning? And that's what I think abortion does. It's a willful thwarting of God and his plans for us.
Oh, that's such a powerful passage, isn't it? From Jeremiah chapter 1, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you, I consecrated you, I set you apart. It's absolutely true that, as Pope Benedict said, each one of us is a unique, unrepeatable gift, and we have this contribution to make to the world, and God wants to give us that life, and he's got a plan for each one of us to fulfill. And so that's why it's so important that we respect this gift of life. Just think about how many persons who were aborted, who might have done something incredible in society, like cure cancer, perhaps, or solve massive problems on a world scale, like hunger. And no, I'm not talking about eating bugs. That doesn't exactly sound appetizing to me. It probably doesn't to you either. And so, yeah, that's a great scripture to bring up. And that's just one of the many, many passages in the Bible that Jesus would have certainly affirmed. And so, yeah, even though he didn't explicitly, he's not explicitly quoted in the, he may have talked about it in private conversation, but it's true that the New Testament doesn't quote him saying anything directly about this issue, but we can certainly posit that Jesus did believe everything that was in the scriptures about it, and there were quite a few verses about this topic. Really appreciate that call, Charles, in Fremont, California. All right, let's go now to Bill in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Hi, Bill. How you doing?
Hi there. How you doing today?
I'm well. Thanks for your call. What's on your mind?
Well, just sort of another angle of the thing. I mean, it's kind of a fool's errand to go around and say, try to prove that abortion is a good thing. But one thing that Joe Scarborough said that wasn't really insane is he talked about it being like the single issue. I mean, he's talking as a politician. And he's talking about people that make abortion the sole issue for voting. You know, I've known people who have done that. And, that is a short-sighted thing. So I kind of flip it on its head and say, to a certain extent, Jesus also talked about other things. It just seems that the Catholic discourse focuses on abortion, I would say, disproportionately. And you were talking a little bit earlier about the Catholic Church losing membership, and I think that, you know, just talking to somebody who's not a Catholic, it seems to quite a few people that seems to be, you know, the main message of Catholicism is anti-abortionism. And I'm not defending abortion. I'm just saying that it takes up, it's possibly way too prominent an issue.
Well, I don't know if any other callers would agree with you, Bill. If you have a take on Bill saying, you call in 888-914-9149. But Bill, I want to say this. Would you not say that the right to life is foundational to all other rights we might have?
Yeah, but I'm saying too, you know, take for example fascist Italy. Mussolini was against, well, he wasn't against abortion. That was actually, you know, had to do with Italian culture and that kind of thing. But there wasn't, you know, he banned abortion. There's a ban of abortion in Iran under the Ayatollah Khamenei. I'm saying that if that's the sole thing, if that's the sole criterion for who's a good leader and who's not, you would have to conclude that Mussolini is superior to Joe Biden, for example.
Yeah, that's certainly an argument that a lot of people make, and a lot of people do accuse Catholics of being one-issue voters. There is obviously a hierarchy, I think, for sure, when it comes to issues. And for example, hopefully no modern person in America would vote for a politician who endorses slavery, for example, or bringing back slavery. And of course, slavery still exists in many forms, even to this day. In ways that we often can't see, there is still slavery happening under our noses all the time. Nobody would vote for somebody who advocated that practice, no matter what their other policies might be, what other economic strategies they might propose. So I do think that all things being equal, and they're not often equal, that's for sure, somebody might be right on this issue. You mentioned the example of Mussolini, but wrong about a whole bunch of other things. And that's a question that people argue about all the time. Do you always go with the pro-life candidate, no matter what their views are on other things? Some say you have to do that. Others say you have to look at the totality. I'll tell you what, I don't want to get in the middle of that right now, but that is something that certainly Catholics are accused of, just being one-issue voters. But it is, of course, a foundational issue, the right to life. We got to get out. We got to break right now up against it, but we'll be back with many more of your phone calls. 888-914-9149's Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values. And fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
Faith, facts, and fun. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the program. 888-914-9149. It's our final segment of the week. Final chance for you to get in on the phone lines. 888-914-9149. You heard that little plug for the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. I will tell you this. Patrick very, very rarely has guests on his program, but I will be there on Tuesday. You tune in around 10:30 Central. It was going to be a match for the ages, folks. You've heard about Patrick's new book, Inquisition. Of course, you can get your free copy at relevantradio.com and on the app. Patrick was on this show this week. If you missed it, check the podcast. That was a lot of fun. We had a little, I called it the Inquisition of Patrick Madrid. I had some questions for him. He had some questions for me and questions for our listening audience as well. Well, Patrick wants to quiz me and our own Josh Raymond, the host of The Inner Life. We're going to be going toe-to-toe in an inquisition of sorts. Patrick is going to ask us questions from the book, and we'll see who knows more or less, as it were. This is going to be an epic matchup for the ages. Remember that old boxing match? I think it's the greatest fight in history, between Marvelous Marvin Hagler, Tommy the Hitman Hearns. I think it was 1981, if memory serves. That was just toe-to-toe action. That's what it's going to be like Tuesday morning on the Patrick Madrid Show, when I go up against Josh Raymond in the Inquisition, hosted by Patrick Madrid. So don't miss that next week. All right. All right, let's go to Rosie in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Rosie. How you doing?
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm well. And I just want to make one quick comment. I had this revelation that our Heavenly Father gave me this 1.5 hour commute every day so I can listen to you. So it's been a very enriching, and I've learned so much, and I really appreciate what you do in getting the word out. But no, my comment is regarding the last caller. Pretty much his comment was about that the Catholics put too much of a focus on abortion. And I'm pretty perplexed on where he's coming from with that, because it is huge. And I think we're right to make that be one of our priorities. But Catholics worry and are focused on many other problems that we face in society. The delusion of the family unit, I mean, a lot of immorals and things are going on. Plus, there's many, many other religions and faiths or Christians and non-Christians that are against abortion. So it's not only a Catholic focus, and I think we should make it and maintain our effort to abolish it.
Well, that's a great point, Rosie, and it's really a natural law issue. It's something that all people of goodwill should be able to agree upon, not just Catholics, but people of other faiths and no faith as well. So, Rosie, really appreciate your kind words. I'm glad I can accompany you on your commute, and hopefully we're on the journey of learning together. Thank you so much for calling. That was Rosie in Atlanta, Georgia. Appreciate you. Let's go now to John in Chicago. Hey, John.
Very quickly, because I know of time. I remember one time a Protestant minister said, you know, is that all you Catholics think about is abortion? Because other things are important too. But I informed him politely that the Catholic Church is the world's largest provider of health care. They're the world's largest provider of education. And they're the world's largest provider of welfare and the like. The reason that we emphasize abortion is because if you deny somebody the right to life, you instantaneously and simultaneously take away every single right that they have, the right to own property, the right to vote, the right to an education, the right to be treated if they're sick, because they're dead. So the right to life is not just another issue. It is the priority issue. Because God gave us our life, and what we do with our life is our gift back to God. And if somebody's denied that right, they have no chance to honor God as he intended.
John, that's very eloquently put. I appreciate the fact that you said that. And this idea that Catholics only care about people before they're born is such a caricature of Catholic teaching. And the examples that you cited, John, are just fly in the face of that, obviously. So. And clearly, we need to redouble our efforts to do exactly that, to care for mothers, for children, for families, even if they're in tough spots, and make abortion unthinkable. That's certainly true. And by the way, one thing I want to draw your attention to, if you hadn't heard about this, there's a pretty famous pro-life advocate by the name of Lila Grace Rose. She was actually on the Dr. Phil show this week trying to explain the Catholic position on life, and I'm sure that many clips from that program are available on YouTube. I've seen a few floating around on Twitter. If you get a chance, check that out. She's a really well-spoken advocate for life, and she did a great job, I thought, in what was, I think, a pretty hostile environment. So anyways, check that out if you have the time, maybe over the weekend. Good to go now to line 4. Les is also in Chicago. Hi, Les.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to add the comment that it states in John 21:25 that not everything that Jesus did and said was written down, because if it was, it would fill all of the books of the whole world. So we don't know if he spoke against abortion directly.
Yeah, well, it's certainly, it's a bit of an argument from science, but I agree with you 100% that that is true. There are many, many other things, as John says, and it's a bit of a hyperbolic statement, but it's true that even the whole world can contain the books that would be written. And there's no doubt, because again, as I mentioned on the Drew Mariani show when he was so kind to have me as a guest, you can read through the major speeches of Jesus in just a few minutes, like the Sermon on the Mount. The Gospels tell us that he kept the crowd spellbound for hours with his teaching, so much so that people were hungry. He had to pull a miracle, and the Filet-O-Fish miracle, the bread and the fish, and feed the multitudes because they were with him for days. So clearly not everything he said got in there, but we do have what we need. And that's what John says in his gospel as well at the end, that these are written. What's in here, what you do have, is so that you might know that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the Christ, and that by believing in him, you might have life in his name. And so we've got what we need. God made sure that he superintended the process of putting together the scriptures and made sure that we got that. And we also have the catechism as well, which is a great repository of Catholic teaching. And we're kind of peeling back the onion through the centuries, looking deeper and deeper into the deposit of faith that Jesus left with the church. Well, what a topic. We had actually a great week of shows. If you missed any of them, if you missed any of the episodes of the Cale Clark Show or The Faith Explained or any other programs on Relevant Radio, of course, go to the podcast. They're all there for you to listen to and to share. I also want to highlight this. Don't forget, on Monday, 12:30 Central, it's the first episode. It's the debut of our new major series on the Faith Explained program, Exodus, The Power and the Presence of God. Exodus is a book that's really captured the imagination of millions and millions of people throughout the years. Been movies made about it. And we're going to have some pyrotechnics of our own. I think you'll really enjoy the Exodus series on the Faith Explained beginning this Monday. Do not miss it, 12:30 Central, or check the podcast later. Well, I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. If you didn't get through, I apologize. We were out of time, but we will be back, of course, on Monday. Stay tuned for Trending with Timory coming up next, followed by Father Rocky and the Family Rosary Across America. Really want to thank Patrick Alog for taking your phone calls. He was he could have used another couple of arms, I think, answering all these phone calls during the show today. I want to thank Jim Shaper for being such a great producer all throughout this week and always at all times on Relevant Radio. Have a blessed weekend, everyone. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.